มเป็นที่คนเราใช้ปัจจุบันนี้จะอาศัยของเป็นคำขนมเชียร์ That is the reason why we debate so much and maybe I should be explaining why we need it to the members. Some of the members are part of and I think we found that the most appropriate person would be J.P. Patlenda. That is the reason why we have called it to come and do this for us. Unfortunately, people don't understand what are they missing. This is very important. These are the chairperson's comments because we find it very difficult to maybe to talk to people about what we exactly want as this committee. I don't know why is it like that, especially with men, our male counterparts. They think that this committee is something, you know, that is only fighting for a 50% representative of women only on lists and representation in parliament and other areas. Yes, it does. But there are other factors that should be looked at, especially in social transformation departments. Legislation that are related to health, the health of women, and economy, departments like agriculture and all the other departments. We thought we would find such people today so that they can be aware of what we need as this gender committee, what we were supposed to be looking at, what we were supposed to be interacting with them and how we expect them to deal with gender budget. I think that is the reason why we have invited Patlenda, honorable members. We will go on, we are expecting that other people will be coming in trips and drafts because we don't know where are they held. With these few words, Debbie, I think you can continue. You can start doing your work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I was with you, earlier this year at the time of the budget, and then we looked what were the documents that were tabled, what were they saying, because the budget is a sort of a promise or a plan about what the rest of the public is going to do. And you develop a report from that as you do. I thought, given that, and we discussed this, given that this time of year, at the end of September, all the departments are meant to report on what they did in the previous financial year. So given that it is now middle of November, it seems an appropriate time to say, how can the annual report help us to look at the budget and to see what they are doing in terms of gender? Because at different times in the year, you have different documents that can help you with your oversight role. So I've called this presentation and what we're going to do this morning is structured around how can annual reports help in ensuring gender responsive budgeting. You will see because there are so few people we might adapt the program. The idea is the focus is using annual understanding the budget from a gender perspective. Second, the presentation I'm doing now. Then I thought we would do group work, but if we are just a few people we can look at the documents together because the group work is to look at a document. Then to come back and say what we find, and then I've put together some summary posts. To put into context what we are going to do today, I go back to the five steps that I present every time I come to the committee. What are the five steps that underlie looking at the budget? the first sex because it describes the situation of women, men, girls and boys in a sex. As a chairperson said, if we're in health, we've got to say women have an extra special need in terms of health because they're their babies. Women are more affected by HIV and AIDS than men because they are sociologically and biologically more vulnerable. Men get prostate cancer, women don't get prostate cancer, and so on. So we have to understand what are the problems in our country. HIV AIDS is obviously a main thing. TB is a main thing. How are those affecting women and men? Then we look at what are government programs and policies that work in the sector. So what is government program around HIV AIDS? Is it going to address the particular needs that women and men have? What is government program around TB? Is it going to address the particular needs that women and men have? If we have this multi-drug resistance and we say that people must be put into quarantine for a whole long period, what will happen to the children of if it's the women who are being put into quarantine? So to ask those sorts of questions. Once we are sure we have a good policy, we say, is the money being given to implement that policy? And check these agenda sets to partial. And that's what we do in March when we discuss the budget. And in particular, this committee is focused on HIV/AIDS, on poverty, and on violence against women over many years. Today we are doing step number four. We're saying you promised the money, you spent some of the money we hope, and we now want to hear what you did with that money, how many women you reached, how many men you reached, how effective you were. And that we will find in the annual report. So the annual reports that are being published now reflect the financial year 2006-2007. And then finally we say, does the money make a difference? So you spent money on doing awareness raising around HIV and AIDS, does that mean that fewer people got infected? You spent money around teaching people about life skills in school, does that mean that fewer girls got pregnant? Does that mean that fewer men tried to raise women? Difficult questions. So, how can the annual report be used? The annual report assists with step four and assists with step five. The budget is tabled in February and it provides government's plan in terms of money to be spent and what is to be achieved. Because already in the budget document, in the Big Fat Red Book, they have some tables saying for each sub-program, these are our targets and these are our indicators. The annual report is produced in September after the end of the financial year. It reports whether the money was spent and it reports if the political targets were achieved. And unless Parliament is checking up on the annual report, you're allowing the executive to make you all sorts of promises without checking if the promises are being kept. So this is your way to say you promised us, let us see what happens. For today, I thought we would focus on safety and security for several reasons. Crime is obviously recognized as a serious problem in the country, and in fact, since our latest presentation, there's been even more emphasis in government and in the media about recognizing we've got to do something about it. Gender-based violence is of particular concern to this committee, and it's recognized as a major problem in the country. And then one purely convenient reason that I focused on this, when I went to look on the web, Safety and Security had their report up on the web, and departments like health didn't have any report on the web. So that's also a question to ask. They could be reporting and it could be available. I also thought safety and security is interesting because it requires more complicated analysis, because it's not directed all simply at individuals. If you're looking at something like education. If you please need to count how many girls and how many boys were sitting in school, how many women and how many men were sitting in the university. The safety and security, it's not that easy. The other problem is that gender-based violence, which is our particular interest, there's no separate allocation for it. Because it's the ordinary police sitting in the police station to deal with gender-based violence as well as other things. It's the ordinary magistrates sitting in the court to deal with courts of rape, the cases of rape, or deal with domestic violence incidents as well as other things. So we can't literally measure the money, and that's when measuring the physical output becomes even more important. I put that note at the bottom though to say, even though here we are looking at the general allocations to say where is gender in them, we mustn't forget about the special allocations for gender. Education also has their annual report on the web. I downloaded it. There's a whole little section on gender equity in education, and most of it says nothing achieved, nothing achieved, nothing achieved. So I think that is a question that needs to be asked to the Department of Education. What has happened to the money that you intended to spend and the things that you intended to do on gender equity? Have you moved in somewhere else? Have you decided there is no problem? What are you going to report to? So just to give the background, safety and security, we look at the 2006-07 budget because that's what this report is focusing on. And there are five programs. The prior administration. Administration, which is always there. Visible policing, detective services, crime intelligence, protection and security services. And you can see visible policing is nearly half of the whole budget. So that's where the main money goes. Detective services is the other one you're going to look at, and that accounts for 16% of the total. So safety and security is quite a big budget, and we're looking at big chunks of them. If you look at the visible policing sub-program, within that, there's crime prevention, which is 80%. Look, I can't find it wrong. If we look at the visible policing program, within that, crime prevention is the biggest type program. 89% of this program and 45% of the total safety and security budget. And that is what pays for all those policemen and policewomen sitting out in all those lots and lots of police stations across the country. And that, when you think of crime, what do you think of first? You think you must call the police and see that they're going to do something. Borderline security is tiny. Specialized intervention is tiny. So we focus on crime prevention. In detective services, general investigations is the biggest. 62% of the program. And that is the detectives who are sitting at the police station. Because when you report a crime, you report it to an ordinary police person, and then they hand it over to the detective who will need to go and try and find out what happened. Fugitive and captive. The other ones are much smaller. If you look at the 2006-07 budget, crime prevention says among its targets, it wants contact crime, the crimes where people come into contact with each other, like theft, like murder, like rape, to be reduced by 7% per year. And they don't get any gender-related measurable objectives. They don't mention rape. Rape is there in contact crimes, but you can't see it. It's just contact crimes in general. For general investigations, they do mention gender. They say they want 40% of the sexual offences against children to be detected. They want 30% of the charges for sexual offences against children, of charges for sexual offences, to get to court. For sexual offences against agri-women, it's 42% and 40%. We can look at those percentages and we can think this is terrible. They are only aiming at getting less than half, or detecting less than half, and then getting only less than half of that to court. And I think that is what has been in the newspapers the last few days about how few of the crimes that happen actually land up something being done about them. But if you compare these targets with the targets for other crimes, you will see that the police are saying we are trying to do better on sexual offences than we are doing on other things. So there we have the state institution making some sort of promise to farmers and citizens, you're going to try hard. They're higher than for organized crime, higher than for commercial crime, which is interesting. In the general text in the book on general investigation, it says the budget has gone up, and part of the reason for the increase is improvement of the functions of family violence, child protection, and sexual offences units. But I have put a question there, because I seem to remember that sometime earlier in the year, or maybe even last year, Safety and Security announced that they had decided to close these special units. So at the beginning of the year, they were saying we are going to spend more money. Later in the year, they said we don't want these units anymore. We don't think they're a good idea. I think there's another area where questions can be asked. What do you have these units for? If you have closed them, how has this affected what has happened to women and children who have been and sexual offences committed against them? So, we're going to look now at parts of the report on safety and security. And I've just got some general questions that one can consider when one looks at these reports. The first one, especially in relation to gender, is how many of the reported achievements relate to events? Because one thing, we are very pleased if people take notice of the 16 days of activism against violence. But if the main thing that the department reports is we had some awareness raising around the 16 days of awareness, then there is a problem. Because what about all the rest of the days of the year? We don't want, I was in one case in Malaysia, I think I submit. I do some work in gender responsive budgeting there, and somebody said to me, their Ministry of Women is known as the Events Ministry. But they don't do anything except organize events. Very exciting events, but they don't do anything about that. And we want our government on gender to be more than events, more than a Women's Day or a Violence Day or whatever day. Then, how many of the reported achievements relate to development of policy documents? Because often you see that a lot of the targets are we will develop a policy, we will develop norms and standards, we will develop protocol, we will develop whatever. Those are obviously important, but we need to be able to measure implementation, not only developing lots of papers. So again, if all the reporting and indicators are about policy and paper, I think there's a question. Then the big one, how many of the reported achievements relate to actual delivery? Because that is what we want. Is actual delivery that makes a difference? Are some groups or areas left out? In this report, you will see they focus and chosen some special police sections. They have a special name for them and they're focusing all their attention on those. What about people who live in the areas where there are the other police stations? So yes, sometimes it's good to focus on areas where there is a lot of problems, but you can't forget about people living in the other ones. And then, is under-delivery explained? If they have said we aimed at 44%, but we only made 35%, can you please explain to us why that is? Is there a good reason or no reason at all? And the last tip I give is look at the indicators and the narrative. The indicators you can look at more quickly, but the narrative often has interesting stuff. So, for the group work, maybe we just all sit together. The question is, what is good about what is reported in the report? What is disturbing about what is reported in the report?
And what before you go there, maybe let us hear from the members whether they can read a salary or short comment.
Sure.
On what we have done already.
I think we've got this question. So far, before David gets to the booker, is there anything maybe you want to talk about? Because I think I've got so a few things that I can talk about, but I want to give you an opportunity. When you talk about the health, for instance, I don't hear right now they've gone back to what is the termination of pregnancy.
Yeah.
And this is the committee that should be dealing with it together with the health. Mm-hmm. But I think Parliament doesn't continue this because I think the main focus now is on health with the industry, but the main thing is that we are concerned about the women who are the bearers of children, you see? And these are the people we should be talking about. And if we talk about termination of pregnancy, what does it mean to young women? And we still expect to get married and all that. I think these are some of the things that we should be looking at. If we go to other committees, we should be asking such questions. And about the tuberculosis issue, it's a very important thing because here we report all kinds of tuberculosis disease.
Yeah.
And some of the people are not even aware that there is a difference. And what can we do to the ordinary woman who cannot avoid looking at a looking after a person who is affected by tuberculosis, because that person has to be their children, and you just have to say you don't know what prevention is and supporting is disabled. Those are some of the, and at the same time our cities don't have a budget. And these are some of the things we should be looking at. I think your information to me, it's really helping us. And on the issue of the safety and security, I think we've got a member that should do the safety and security because he will agree with what he has been saying. Because these are some of the things that we are overlooking. I think we should do that. Now, the most important thing I want to comment you about is that when I go through this document, I think it also empowers us to ask questions in Parliament to the relevant department. Mm-hmm. It is not only about giving the preferences. For us, I think it's very important. Because maybe these are the questions that we should be asking so that we get information out of from the executive. So what I wanted to say, Debbie, I think your arrangement is quite interesting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry I'm a bit late. Chair, I really don't know what can be done now. After so much documentation made on gender, written, documented. For instance, in our last meeting with police about the Domestic Violence Act, I think to us as not only as members but also as activists, we are relieved that police have ultimately accepted. There is some levels of lack of commitment, despite of training which is being given from time to time. But there's still some levels of lack of commitment amongst them when it comes to, especially, I mean, for personal experience from the police stations that we visited countrywide, some of the police stations they don't even have an idea how to keep records on domestic violence issues. They don't even have an idea, but they were trained. They were made aware, they were given information, but still they can't keep records. So I really don't know what can be done. Maybe we need to change the way we work, Comrade Dora. I'm not sure how, but not unless I'm becoming an alarmist. But I think we need to get around an idea of enforcing some of these things. I don't know how. Because, I mean, documentation is there. Plans, rules, regulations, knowledge, information is galore for now. How many workshops do we go to every year? Every year, how many workshops do we hold? How many resolutions do we take? How many amendments do we make every year? But then what? In terms of implementation. I think we need to get some way to enforcing these things. I don't know how, but we need to change the way we work. Because we can't really just rely on the fact that people get up early in the morning every day, they go to work, they come back, they go to work. At the end of the day, they get their salary day. But then, what about implementation? I don't know really, but maybe I don't know what I'm saying, but what I'm trying to say is we need to get something to enforce these laws, to enforce these regulations, to reinforce people's conscience, to be consciously aware. I mean, we can't continue to come to meetings every day, talk about the same things every time, same thing every time. We need to get around and find a solution. To begin to really enforce.
Honorable Ndudi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one issue for clarification. On page 3, the focus on safety and security. You talk about reasons, and then when you go further down, you say safety and security is interesting, as it requires more than simple analysis of money allocated for women, because money used to address gender-based violence is included in allocations that address other issues as well. Now, you talked about education. When you talk about gender equity, you talk about education, that it is easy to identify whether money has been used for female or male when you come to its education. But now, I'm interested in knowing that is there any department that allocates money specifically for women? I'm talking about agriculture, for instance. They talk about the development of women in rural areas, women, children, and the disabled. But there's no specific amount that is allocated for that particular sector of people living in rural areas. They talk in general terms. I serve in agriculture. I serve in trade and industry. There's no money that is allocated specifically for women in those areas. But we all talk about the development of those areas and the eradication of poverty or alleviation of poverty, which affects mostly women and children in the rural area. To me, I haven't come across any department that has got a program that deals with women. There's no program like that. Now, when we say we want to develop women, we are in the mercy of that particular department. If, like for instance, the trade and industry, if that particular department can have some surplus that they can use for women, is there a way of making sure that there is money that is allocated specifically for women issues in all the departments?
Are you answering?
Yes.
Before that, you know, I said this document is very good. You see, now it is also inciting us to call the executive to come and give us responses to what Mantuli says. It's a very good document that But I wanted to say, the issue of prostate cancer, nobody's talking about it. And it's a very serious thing. Because we perceive men to be these people who will never talk about it. But it's a very serious thing. I think these are the things that we should be dealing with. Here, out of this document, Debbie, I must tell you, we have a program for the whole year, next year, already. And if we talk about reproductive health as a whole, you see, in the UN meeting that they had, they were in their thematic areas. They had health, education, and these are the things they were talking about, especially around the reproductive health. And they never came back to us, the executive, to come and tell us exactly what happened there and what is South Africa intending to do about it. That is the reason why they are going back to the termination of pregnancy now. I just wanted to emphasize this, whether my colleagues are aware that we really have a program here, a program for the whole year, because these are the things we should be going back to. Thank you.
Okay, I'll start backwards, but with the issue about special allocation for women. I am very wary of having special allocations to women. In general, I think it is much better to have allocations for people, and then that is where the annual report comes in, how many of those people were women, and how many of those people were men. I think that, and I was in India last month, and there they have lots of schemes for women, and schemes for special tribes, and schemes for special castes. But my suspicion is what happens when you do that is that your main programs become for men. So men become the norm. You know, we have our ordinary program, and then we have a little program on the side for women. Whereas I think what we need, the big prize is to say our main program must deal with everybody, including women, and they must take account of women's special needs. We do have a few special programs for women. We have the Commission on Gender Equality. That is a special money that is given for women. We have the Office on the Status of Women, and as we saw in March, you cannot even see in the budget now how much is given for that because it's been put into a bigger amount. But that was a special amount for gender. In education, they don't seem to have a special amount, but they have a special project on gender equity. And that is the one that I say, when you look at the annual report, it seems to be that that project is disappearing, that they haven't done all the activities. So sometimes we need special money or special projects for women as affirmative action, but generally I would be very wary of pushing that every department must have a special allocation for women, because then I think the danger is the main allocations become, we don't need to bother about women because somebody else is dealing with them, some other money. I'm interested, Chairperson, in what you say on health, that you are expanding it beyond, I mean, traditionally this committee has focused a lot on HIV/AIDS, you are expanding it beyond that. I think that is really good. I used to work for a gynecologist, so I have a special interest in that. But I mean, I think reproductive health is really a central issue for women, and it goes beyond HIV/AIDS. HIV/AIDS is very linked up, but there is termination of pregnancy. You raise the issue, it's TB, it's not only the people who are ill, but when other people in the household are ill, it's the woman who usually lands up doing the unpaid work caring for them. How is that going to affect them? So I think I wanted to do health for today, but it wasn't. The report wasn't on the web. So that is a question. But I think it could be something that the committee going forward looks at on a regular basis.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know your comment on this particular issue, whereby I'm sure you've seen that there's a proposal for the women's ministry, and the reason for that is because after 13 years, there's a strong feeling that the issues of women, the problems are still there. And the economic empowerment, everything for women is still there. But there's a strong argument that the Beijing Platform of Action, each and every department is supposed to be having a budget for women. But as you indicate earlier on, that this seems to be disappearing, and it's disappearing in all the departments, and it's not properly implemented in all the departments. What is your own view on the issue of the women's ministry?
I go against the Women's League on this. I don't think you should have a women's ministry, and that's based on working in lots and lots of different countries. I think that, I will be honest here, I don't think our commission and our Office on the Status of Women have done what they should have done as well as they should have done. But I think that having those structures has more potential than setting up a separate ministry. And why I say that is that what you find when there is a separate ministry is this danger of other people saying they can deal with all the gender issues. Theoretically, a woman's ministry or a gender ministry is meant to be there to push everybody else to be gender sensitive. So they're meant to ensure mainstreaming everybody, like the OSW is meant to do. That doesn't do very well at the moment. What often happens is that the women's ministry feels, but we've got to do delivery. So then they start doing domestic violence, and the police can say, we don't have to do domestic violence because the women's ministry is doing it. So they start becoming like a project ministry rather than a policy ministry, which is what they should be doing. I don't think the Beijing Platform of Action says special money for women in everything. The Beijing Platform of Action says let's look at the money to see that women are getting their fair share. But that does not mean allocating a separate amount. And that's what, and I forgot to respond to your thing. Your issue about the police, there's much more awareness around domestic violence than there was. We've got a good act, there's been a lot of training. That you go to your constituencies and you hear terrible stories. And I think as parliamentarians, you have an enormous opportunity because on the one hand you can say, I went to my constituency and I heard this, this, and this. and don't tell me all your wonderful big words, but can you explain to me how this and this can happen, and what are you going to do about it? You also have the response, you also have these annual reports. So you can say, you went to all this training, you can see that you went to all this training, but why are we still having only X percent happening or only this percent happening? I think in South Africa we have good documents. We have too many documents. Lots of information. But the trick is to know where to look in those documents and what questions to ask about them. So, it's difficult. But I think you are in a very powerful position.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Now, talking about the women's ministry, in all the departments, I think when you say there are no gender-related measurable objectives in page 5, you are talking about the departments themselves. They don't have any gender-related measures to say these are the objectives, in particularly for on women issues. Now, if we have a women's ministry, that will help us to be focused, more focused on gender issues and have measurable objectives. Don't you think that will happen if we have this ministry?
The OSW was meant to be in charge of a system of focal points in all the ministries, because and one ministry cannot tell another ministry to have particular indicators. It has to be people inside that ministry who know the programs and are inside the structure. The OSW was meant to work with these focal points, and they should have been working on getting good indicators. So I think we have the structures, but they are not working. And that is my worry. I don't think changing a structure is going to solve the problem.
I don't know if somebody wanted to say something. Honorable.
Yeah, I think we want to make the follow-up. I think to a certain extent you are correct. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. Have you in your interaction with this department, have you in a way do we need to make, I don't know what I should call it, an audit of some sort. As to, because you are correct also to the effect that it doesn't necessarily mean if we create another structure different from what we have, it means we are going to solve the problem, because we are going to be facing the same problems again. So as long as the problems are there, don't we need to make an audit to check this to whether, because I can't understand, South Africa with so many tertiary institutions. Every year we produce people. We produce skill every year. We produce talent. We produce knowledgeable people. Don't we need an audit of some sort to check as to whether maybe through the Department of Education, to check as to maybe we don't seem to be deploying people the relevant way. I don't know, but I can't understand why we seem to be faced to implement this thing with so many graduates, so many tertiary institutions. Every way produce, but then what? Where do these people go? Where are these people being deployed to do what? I mean, if you take people in a panel, you interview them, you begin to hear how far have they gone really in producing skilled people, but as to where do they go? What is it that we do with them? I don't know. Maybe it's because we don't deploy people to relevant or maybe we read wrong books at school, I don't know.
Or we don't have enough questions coming.
But I really do think that when questions start coming from Parliament, I've been in departments and they said, oh, but Parliament asked about this, we need to get it right, we need to have an answer. So I really think you have a lot of power here. When you ask the questions, you make the departments take things seriously. The thing around very few of the departments have gender targets, that's a question you could maybe make a dent in. Because if this committee or if the other committee starts saying, why are there no targets that relate to gender, departments will start putting them in. That, as a unit, I don't think there's a ministry needed for that. I think there are questions needed from a powerful body.
Everything?
Yeah.
Have you? Oh, okay. Your mic is...
Oh, sorry.
You know, Debbie, this issue of the name is quite a sensitive issue, I think. You know, we avoided that at first because of what you're saying. We didn't want to have this minister, and we thought if we have all the other factors, it would be good. Now, what I've discovered that we didn't get from the OFW is that their budget also has been reduced from what it was. That's the latest information we got from them when they came to us about 2 weeks ago. Now, there's a question that has been asked by Semple, I think you know Semple from the DA, that who is this financial, they call him a financial what? Trevor Fowler, is the director of what? Financial something, there's a question that is coming to Parliament next time. I think as this committee must make a follow-up question to them, you know, because for the first time we have someone who has given us really what is happening in the OSW, starting with the budget, you know. Some time ago we asked them to give us their report on this financial report. They said it's not ready yet. Although this was not a detailed one, but at least we know what is happening. Because people are talking about this women's ministry precisely because the OSW is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Now, that, you see, if Kiki says this is debatable, it must be debated by this committee. Yes, I think so. And we must call more of these people to our study groups, maybe, so that we get exactly what we want. Because we don't see ourselves as South African Parliament trying to work against structures that have been put in place by us, you know? Yeah, and with the recommendation of the international instruments, you know, and then we start saying now, these structures are no good. We want to talk, you know, about something that we have really interrogated properly.
I find that very interesting that you say that their budget has decreased, because you will remember in March, we asked the question, why are they not telling us the separate amounts anymore? So it's been, you could see they were hiding something, and now you have found out what they were hiding. So these documents tell you a lot, both by what they tell you and by what they don't tell you, because when they don't tell you things, you know there is often a question. There is something that needs, that is hidden and needs another question. So that is, yeah, there you were playing your role.
Have you got more of this? I don't know whether they are on the phone, one to everybody.
Have you got more of this?
Okay. No, that's the case.
calling on to the
Okay, let's look at, okay, so you can see I had to download 5 different documents, all the different chapters, and then I looked at them and I thought program 2 is the one program we want to look at and program 3 is the other. And I had actually suggested that we only focus on a few pages, but she's done the whole thing. So you can see, I will point you to the pages that I thought were particularly interesting for this committee. We start off on page 31, and it tells you about, it summarizes the performance against target. So it tells you, this is what we promised you that we would do, and this is what we actually did. If you look over here, target and actual. So we promised you in 31. Yeah. We promised you at the beginning of 2006, this is what we did. By the end of the financial year in March 2007, this is what we can tell you we did. And what first thing that you see is sometimes they try to evade the issue by not reporting in the same numbers. So they will say here, initiatives established at 169 high contact crime stations. In actual, they don't give the number of high-contact crime stations. Whereas the target and the actual should be reporting on the same thing, else you can't compare. So there's a question there. But if you go over the page, page 32, you can see here they are reporting in a better way. Target, this is percentage of firearms recovered, 85% recovered, 89% recovered. You can make a direct comparison. It's easy to do. All of these are not particularly interesting from a gender perspective, but that is interesting that they haven't put any of the gender ones in their top-level summary, which is what comes on the first pages. Why haven't they got anything there about the gender grounds? Are they not the most important? Okay, if we go to page 34, it gives you some statistics. So if you go to the middle of the thing on arrests, you can see their numbers for rape, there's numbers for indecent assault. The problem here is that it is very difficult to judge those numbers without knowing how many did they do the previous year. Is 19,629 a lot or a little? It sounds quite a lot, but we don't really know. So another thing that we would want them to do is to give at least for 2 years so that we know a bit more. And people must stop if you see anything else or have questions. I then went on to page 42. Yes. I mean, this is interesting. You must, I mean, they but they give a lot of information. But yeah, only, and you hear, everybody knows about a car hijacking, and they've only done 1,462. That sounds a little bit few. So even though they haven't given a comparative figure, you can already say this looks a bit wrong. Bank robbery, only 26. Doesn't sound right. House robbery, only 2,664. But remember that robbery means there has to be a firearm attached. Yeah.
But why do you say there has to be a higher arm?
Because robbery, the definition of robbery is that if there is a weapon attached to it.
But they can come with...
I think, well, robbery, there has to be a weapon. I'm not sure whether it has to be a gun. I've forgotten. But theft is just when they steal without a weapon or gun. And sometimes people get... If we go to page 42, they give it not in tables, but there they tell us more of a story. And here they're speaking specifically about the anti-rape strategy. So we are pleased because they're focusing on one of our issues. But my worry about this was that it seemed to be mainly about awareness campaigns. What else, you know, awareness campaigns are in 42. And there's the 16 days of activism. So it might be that you want to say, what other activities were you doing? They also, on one page, have 67 campaigns, and on the other page have 2,151 campaigns. And then one, that is very confusing, because was it 67, or was it 1,251? So when you are looking at this, you are looking with a critical eye all the time to say, does this make sense, what they are telling me? It's a bit like being a mean teacher and looking for the mistakes. Because oversight is about trying to find out, are there mistakes in what is happening? There's a whole section, page 43, on the Domestic Violence Act. And it talks about your training. So there you are. We have some training. We have a lot of people. 9,656 people trained. There's far more than that police people in the country, but still, there's something. They talk about workshops in Mpumalanga, and then I wonder, what about the 8 other provinces? Why are we only hearing about Mpumalanga? I then went on to page 47. So I suppose what I'm saying to you when I say go to page 47 is that you have to learn to read these documents if you are going to stay sane and have any time for yourself. You have to be able to find the pieces that are relevant for your interests and your committee. Page 47, they talk about violence prevention and victimization. It's got something on domestic violence on the next page. And it also has something about victim empowerment on the next page, which was very strongly focused on gender violence when it first started. I've made some tables on that I'll show you just now. Because the problem with this is that some provinces have far more per population than others. So it's not equitable the way that these victim-friendly stations have been done. And then page 63. Okay, this is just, first look on page 55. This is what I was telling you about. They have decided to focus on 169 high contact crime stations. And I'm saying, it is good to focus where the problems are biggest, as long as you don't forget about the other ones, because otherwise they will develop. It's like people used to say, Johannesburg had all the crime, then they got better policing in Johannesburg, and all the criminals ran away to Pretoria. And now Pretoria has a problem. So crime is not something that you can ignore some areas. I think focusing is good. You can see Western Cape, Khayelitsha is a focus area. Nyanga is a focus area. Pearls Received, Mitchell's Plain. What's interesting is, where is a place like Munnenberg? Is it included in one of those? Because Munnenberg should be there. It's there. Page 71 has got Munnenberg. So we must match it against what we know. Okay, but go to page 63. 63, you will remember that I said in the budget book for 2006-2007, they said they want to reduce crime, the main contact crimes, by at least 7%. Here they give us the numbers, and we see rape has gone down, but not by 7%. So they've performed worse than they said they were going to perform on rape. You see that list of common assault, common robbery, indecent assault, rape. On indecent assault, which is also sexual, and rape, they've performed worse than they should have. Indecent assault will actually often be rape of men, because rape, we have defined in South Africa at the moment, it can only happen to a woman. So when it happens to a man, it is indecent assault. Yes, no, I mean, that needs to be changed, but for the moment it means that as this committee you need to focus on indecent assault as well, because that is where you are catching the men. If we go to page 65, they break it down by province. And they show which of the provinces have managed to do the 7% reduction. And for each of the crimes, except common assault, you can see that fewer than half of the provinces have managed to get their 7% reduction. So for rape, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Western Cape have managed to do it. Well, Western Cape, not quite 7, nearly 7. Indecent assault, Mpumalanga, Free State, Western Cape, but there are 6 other provinces in each case that have not made the target. What is interesting is how honest the government is in South Africa. In most other countries, you would not get this information. So we are privileged in having the information before us, which allows us to ask questions and say, what are we going to do about it? Okay, so on to program 3, our detectives. And this is in fact almost the bigger problem. I mean, if you read and if you know people who've been involved in crime yourself, you know that you can report to a police station and then nothing happens. They lose the docket or they just are rather incompetent. So, page 70 to 71, we have which of the things that they are highlighting at the beginning of their chapter. Is there anything related to gender? We say yes. On page 71, they report on the things that they had on as targets. So you will remember they had targets for sexual offences against children and adults, and for detection against children and adults. And here, it looks wonderful. The target was 40, they say they've got 62.4. The target was 30, they've got 45.1. Target was 42, 60.7. Target 40, percentage 44.8. So here you have to say to the department, if you believe this, well done. I think as a committee it's got to be not only what have you done wrong, but also where are we pleased with what is happening. Because this really does look as if they've put extra effort into detecting sexual offences. Page 75. Here we have very, very detailed. And you can see they've given what I was asking for before. They give you a comparison with the previous year. They give you the number of complaints reported, the number of complaints incomplete, the percentage of cases referred to court, and the percentage detection rate. Now this, at first is overwhelming, but you have to thank them for providing this amount of information. But you can go and look, rate. We can see it has gone down, and it's, remember what we saw before, it's gone down 4.2. Percentage of cases reported to court, gone down. So although they reported that a higher percentage were detected, if you look over here, a smaller percentage of the cases that were reported are getting to the court. So somewhere along the line they are dropping off. So it's no good having them detected if they don't land up in court, because even in court they can be lost. I think, yeah, these are very confusing when you first look at it, and the intention today is really just to say there is a lot of information here that you can ask questions about. Page 83, they actually have several pages which are about charges to court and detection rate for crimes against women. 83. Picture. So they explain all the, because this is complicated stuff. There's first got to be the reporting, and then there's got to be the detecting, and then it's got to get to court, and then it's got to be one in court. And if you don't concentrate on each of those steps, things can go wrong. What's also interesting is that they divide it into children and adults. And I think that is useful, because there was a problem, certainly in the Weinberg court here, that they set up for sexual offences. But they were so overwhelmed with children in the first years that they were turning away women because they said, we can't deal with women. So everybody thought sexual offences, of course, aha, this is for violence against women, but in fact it wasn't. It was violence against children that it was mainly dealing with. If you look at the figures overall here, it seems to be, in fact, they're dealing with more adults than children now. I don't know about Weinberg. On page 86, they talk in particular about these family violence, child protection and social offences units. And they don't talk about them being closed, so maybe they decided not to close them, or maybe they're not being honest, I don't know. But I definitely remember there was talk in the newspapers and elsewhere that they were about to be closed. But that is really to say to you, safety and security is doing well, I think, in terms of how much they report, especially the detective services. What they are reporting is maybe not always so good, but at least they're giving you the information. Because unless you have the information, you can't really know whether what they are doing is good or bad. Do you ever get to discuss these reports in committee?
No.
No.
Not in this committee. That's the reason why we need this interaction with committees.
Yeah. And maybe you could each year just choose a few that relate to your core interests and do a special session in this committee. You can't look at all 26 or 27.
No.
But you can say, health, we are particularly interested. Safety and security, we are particularly interested.
So. But just to put us in monitoring, I guess the word monitoring really is wrong with things. I wanted to ask you a question, again. When you talk about this violence, how do you classify the issue of engraving documents, the issue of trafficking?
There is no... Yeah, I mean, I've looked at this because of child labour stuff. We don't have a trafficking law at the moment, a separate trafficking law. So if you want to prosecute somebody who has done trafficking, you've got to prosecute them for a related crime rather than the trafficking itself. And it's something that needs to change. So the children's bill that has just been passed, that has now got for child trafficking, there's a specific... It is named and it is defined. But for if you are trafficking adults, there's no actual crime. Yeah. And that needs to, I think the law reform, South African Law Reform Commission is working on it.
You know, I'm from Mozambique, and they had a workshop in the sea country that heavy cross border started to the end. Within the soft province also, that if you listen to more than this in Canada. And Lesotho really doesn't even know that they are trafficking. They probably said they don't consider their incidents to be trafficking because they see that people come to South Africa on their own needs. And they are not even bothered of what happens after they are in South Africa. And these people get involved in the, you know, some of them, yes, out of their way, but I think mostly knows what happens in Jamaica. About people who come in half and day, in the Western Rand and all the other places. For instance, we've got a place in, what is that, a room full of, where the agents of these people come from, who are domestic workers. And after that, they are sold for something else from that house, you know. And here we had those people, we had to convince them in that house because they thought it's just sort of, if you go to the city, what are you going to tell the people? The people are sold, people will think that you are here. You see, we can't manage this thing if we have something that really is like that way. Something across the province, yeah. But the fact of the matter is what you said, I think I must tell you for every member here. I think we should be dealing with this issue of trafficking as this committee, because we have got this issue to be debated by the Women's Parliament. But as long as you don't have a legislation, it is not going to be addressed properly.
Yeah.
And the root causes, that's what the book now that can be, the root causes of the trafficking. And it's highly violence. I think it should be related to what we're talking about.
Yeah. And the Law Reform Commission has been working on it for too long. Sometimes things get stuck in the Law Reform Commission. So we could have an act quite quickly if they were.
One other example is the femicide. I don't know how far they go with that because it is happening, it's still happening. And for instance, if you take, you know, I don't know, I don't think some of the issues we are dealing with as government, we are very serious, especially issues that are related to each other. We are not serious about. Who is saying what about the women who died with that sugar cane plant? And the number is increasing. Now they just found one body again.
I've got a few more slides and I can't suggest. Like, genocide would be reported as murder, but I'm saying we want to know how many men and how many women died.
Exactly.
We want to know how many of the perpetrators were men and women. So,
yes.
Yes.
You know, the chairperson has just come to talk about this. Really, in South Africa, really, So, but there's a guy now who's going to court. Really, the one who was owning the ranch in Rivonia, you know? That guy, he was trafficking all over the country. You know, he was a policeman before, you know? He was a connection in court. Every time when they want to go and raise the case, those who are friends, who are always going to that ranch, they're going to tell him that the police are coming to get, you know? You've got so many houses in Livonia. Those people are staying in those houses, you know, always to escape. And here, I don't know, the scorpion or what.
The scorpion,
the thing, you know, arresting, no? And the case, I think it's 3 years or so now. It's going to court again. It's only to court again, you know? Oh, well, they put this in
there. Yeah, that's right.
And
they
have a way down, you know? By cheating of
checking with the patient. I think they're finding other things.
Yeah.
Like running a brothel. Or
yeah, running a brothel. And like this woman, from the system, the therapist knows about that place in Kulo. If you want a domestic worker, you know, just go to that place. That person, you know, and she recruits women from the system. And it's a woman talking, but most of them are not there. You know, there are things. I think there must be a law about this woman.
Thank you, Professor. You said something when you talk about the relationship. I'm very much worried about it. In the document, on the first page, you say that the effective service program delivers the service required to effectively investigate crime. And it facilitates the activities of detectives at all police stations. Now, but there is a bigger problem within the detective. If you look at the number of missing files, you ask yourself a question. Is there a connection between the detective and the criminal? Because if you talk about the missing files, it raises a question again.
Yes.
Where does the files go to? And sometimes if you look at the time that they take in investigating one crime, You ask yourself the question, are they properly trained to do the job? And when the cases go to court, in most cases you find that they say there's not enough evidence. Now, you raise the question again, what type of detectives have we got? Now, I don't know, because whenever we talk about the previously disadvantaged people, we always say they are like this because they were not trained like the white and so. But to me, it doesn't make sense anymore, because we are 13 years down the line, we have been here from 1994. We should have detected this problem when we came in and trained these people, retrained these people. I don't know whether really is there some retraining happening so that we can have effective investigations. If we don't have effective detectives, then really we'll end up with cases that are being withdrawn from the court. In most cases, especially when it comes to race cases, when it comes to family violence cases, you come across the issue of not enough evidence, that there was not enough evidence, and most of these people just have three things. Now, to me, it doesn't make sense. I don't know whether we need to overhaul this sector of the police or what. The people are not standing in this safety and security committee. But I have a big question when it comes to the
detective. Okay, well, thank you, Professor. I would like to my studio and really about this sense of, you know.
I don't know, this thing of no evidence. Look at that right in a case. Those three women died painfully. Put it in a gram of chemicals, you know? So the entire
of
those women, they killed them. But they are free. You know? There was good evidence. But they say no, it's not good enough.
I mean, I think there's serious problems of detection,
and I think some of it is incompetence. I think there are a lot of new people, they haven't got proper training, the filing is clearly very bad, and then there's just outright corruption. As you say, the detectives are in cahoots with some of the criminals, or the criminals can bribe or whatever else. We can't solve that by looking at the annual reports, but we can ask questions. We can say, why is this number? Or we can say, this number doesn't match what we know from what we have heard. I've got a few slides, if I can just summarize the things that came out of the report for me. Should I show them?
Yes.
Maybe before showing them, just look at the issue of the specialized. Because when you go further down, you find that there are also this specialized investigation funds. That's not allocated, what is that?
That's
what
I
mean by that. I
think that's
what we still have the
scorpions
on the other hand.
Yes, I think that might have been, I think that was things like scorpions and that. So I was saying we can't look at the whole of safety and security. If we're interested mainly in gender-based violence, which sub-programs does it fall under? So we're not covering everything. Specialized, I think, was the big one that the scorpions come into. But the big money goes into the bits that we're looking at. And the gender-based violence is covered or should be covered. No, the scorpions don't look at gender-based violence.
But,
I don't think.
They call
us
the
NPA. Yeah, they do, yeah. But that, yeah. NPA,
we call them one.
Yes.
We also will have issues that relate
to I mean, there's too many things. Specialized investigation is organized crime related. So it's the big crimes. Where is that's page 77. And in fact, they've got cross-border crime here. So if you're interested in trafficking, it would come under here. So what I chose today is not the whole story. But I was just saying, yeah, you have to focus sometimes.
Property
crime. And in fact, in South Africa, the balance is not bad.
Yes,
it's all part of that same it's part of the main presentation. Okay, if we look at crime reported, rape decreased by 4.2%, which is the same as we saw. Indecent assault decreased by 4.5%. It's good that there's a decrease. That is less than the target that they had set for themselves in the budget, which was 7%. And then it was only in a few provinces that this target of 7% was reached. Let's just take in both of them, but let's just take a very high rate, so it's got a long way to go. Arrest, leave a mark for attempted rape and indecent assault, but it's very difficult to judge because they don't give any targets and they know the statistics for the previous years. What I found interesting, the number of rapes is almost equal to the number of murders. Now, I don't know if we want to be bigger or expect to be bigger, we want both of them to be zero.
But can I ask you a question, please, on the issue of rape
Now, when you talk about rape,
we always talk about a woman who is raped.
Yeah.
But do you know that there are also men that are raped?
The problem is in our law, rape is defined as penetration of the vagina by a penis. So it's got to happen by a man to a woman. We know that rape, not as legally defined, can happen to men as well. But it's then classified as indecent assault in our law. In the new sexual offences bill, it'll be changed and it will include, it should be changed to include that men can be raped. Because it's nonsense. Yeah,
they are raped.
Yeah.
You know, I've been talking about this thing, I don't know, especially in the prison.
Yeah.
And what do you try to find? These are some of the things I think in my telephone.
Yeah. Okay, then we have arrest. Okay, that we've already looked at. Then we saw those paragraphs on the anti-rape strategy and domestic violence. There's an issue of, at one point they say that there were 67 campaigns, and another place they say 2,151. Which one is the correct number? 16 days of activism is good, but mustn't be the main thing that they do. Training for staff on domestic violence is good, but why do they mention only in Mpumalanga? And 56 projects to reduce domestic violence, and then there are only 3 provinces named. So what about the other 6 provinces? So it feels to me like their anti-rape work is a bit hit and miss, ad hoc. They haven't got a full plan. They're just doing bits and pieces here and there.
What I did was I took the victim friendly facilities and I took the population from the new community survey for the province and I divided the population by the number of victim friendly facilities. And you can see that Northern Cape and Western Cape we have lots of facilities per population. Limpopo, they have the least. Now that is clearly not there. Why should it be that Northern Cape and Western Cape are so well served and Limpopo is so badly served? Investigation achievement, you can see, this I made a mistake when I was presenting. I said they were doing better than they had planned to do. But if you look at this carefully, let's go back, you will see that they're not saying they did 62% of the total, they say they do 62% of the target. So they have underperformed, they haven't overperformed. They've only done 62% of the target is less than two-thirds. 45% of the target is less than half of the target. 60% of the target, 44% of the target is less than half again. So there I made a mistake, I had forgotten about this. We have to be very careful when they give a target in percentage, when they report their performance, are they reporting the overall percentage or are they reporting the percentage of the target they achieve? If they're presenting the percentage of the target, it should be 100% or more. So they have failed badly on all of these. And it's a bit dishonest of them to report it like that. It's tricky and it's confusing.
Yeah.
Family violence, only 1,954 cases finalized in court. But there were more than 52,000 cases of reported rape and the other cases that were also sexual offences. I mean, that is appalling. And more cases were finalized the previous year than were finalized in 2006-2007. The percentage drop in cases finalized is greater than the drop in cases of rape. So that's moving backwards. What do we want to see? We want to see more gender-related targets in the budget and in the annual report. We want to see sex disaggregation of achievement. So are the people arrested and convicted, male or female? Like we were talking about femicide. We want to see timely production of annual reports by all departments. I think some of the departments have not yet produced their annual reports and it is actually part of what they have to do.
Yeah.
Alright. I put what else, but I think I've given you enough to do to keep you living.
Honorable Ms. Judy?
Yeah, this is a different. I think under family violence and sexual offenses, they say here it's 2,599 cases finalized.
Yes. Yeah.
But they don't tell us what was the outcome.
Yeah.
Because it can be finalized, these people can be convicted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. That's another angle.
Yes.
I will add that. Because if they talk about just finalized,
yeah.
They can be discharged, they can be charged. So many things can happen there.
Yeah.
They don't really tell us exactly what happened.
Okay, that is all I have.
Yeah. You know, at the end.
You know, it's good that we have this, but if we unpack everything that happened in different places and the reports that we get when we meet with the stakeholders, I think when we are coming as a committee, they just arrive to give us fake reports. That's what I've noticed. First and foremost, some of the police, you know, SAPS is very good to give us the statistics and a report in all the provinces. But compared to what you are giving us here, the report that you just spoke about on investigation, I think this is terrible, you know, because against what they usually tell us, it doesn't reveal this in most cases that they fail so much. So I think the percentages that they are giving us here, to us they should be questioned, you know, really, because I know we have been praising stuff among all the stakeholders that they are doing so much, and if the investigation fails so much, I think we are far from achieving anything really. I know in Limpopo, when we went to Vembe, the magistrates were telling us some of the things in Limpopo, seemingly, I don't know whether it's the CGE that doesn't impart information to the people down there, whether it is the duty of SAPS or it is the Justice Committee that should be doing it. But seemingly people are not informed of their rights. For the fact that the courts, we went there to go and look at Titi and them and turned back. Were you at Zambia? Did you go to Zambia? Or you attend from Bulukwan? We're all there, yeah. Some of the courts, they don't even know about the equality courts that are there. They are not utilized. To me, it was amazing, really. Why? Because the magistrate that was giving us this information was so well invested about the whole thing of gender and what the discrepancies are and everything. And I think the same applies here. People know what to do, but people are not informed which they must go and report and whom to go to in such areas. I think, I get touched because the OSWs and the O-what-what and the CGEs and all the other things, they are not dealing with these things efficiently. Because these are the things that we should be dealing with as the national gender machinery, all of us. Otherwise, I would be saying,
I wish all the members were here, excepted of the freedom security. They were here because there are so many things that we have learned. That can empower the service local committee, even the members.
Maybe the whole cluster.
Yes, members which can call the workshop for women's caucus. It's ready to come to you. You can ask so many questions in all departments, you know, especially to talk about the city.
Health
care. Health care. If somebody was sick before 1994, he had a TB, you know, if he's taking a treatment. But lots of people that need treatment and the stomach, have anything to eat, you know. You used to go to the health clinic and get a peanut butter, a packet of milk, something, you know, there was powder that was called Sudamanda. Before you take your tablet, you just make that little porridge and you drink. But now you can't find those things in our health clinic. You just go there and take your tablet, those peanut butter and everything, but maybe you get a slice of bread and put that peanut butter and take your tablet.
And then, what are the implications of that thing? We should be more worried as the union has.
Yeah.
Because what are the implications? People, when they reflect back, a person who is as old as me, reflecting back to the city, see my union gets a lot of a big piece of biscuit, very nice biscuit, right?
And cup of
milk, everything. These are facts, they are very worried.
Yeah.
And you get what Moody is saying. From the city streets, we have come about and everything. I think really it's our task we should be working. They're making noise about this thing. I'm telling you, David, you know, I used to eat very nice at school. In the cake. And I
drank
the cake. Yes, in the cake. In the primary school, I'm not talking about high school. So, a person of my age, comparing, you know, things that are happening now, and the teacher, I think this is just not possible.
I'm interested, you know, to be on the drug related crime. If you have any statistics on that particular one, because there is this silent crime of drug trafficking, which mostly is women that are used in this particular crime. And our women are jailed in foreign prisons. And, you know, back at home, if you listen to the mother's stories about this, they are very touching stories. If you listen to the mothers back at home, so
yes,
yeah? Back at home. No, here in South Africa, when I say back at home, I wanna say, if you look at this crime, the drug trafficking crime, there's our women are jailed. It's mostly women that are jailed in these foreign prisons. I mean, and you know, again at home, it affects their mothers, the women again. And I don't know whether the statistics, and also most of them, they are pregnant, I don't know why, but they always give birth in those foreign prisons, in those foreign prisons. So it just affects a lot of things, the family, the unborn child, and so on.
I didn't focus on that today, but certainly yes, these do they cover drug-related crimes,
yes,
but there is no sex disaggregation. They do not talk about women or men. It's just, is it cannabis or is it, what is it? It's only one crime. It is. There's nothing. So that last slide where I said one of the things we want to know when people are arrested, is it women or is it men? Because that will give us a better picture of what is happening. So that did, although we didn't cover it, that general recommendation would give you more information than you have now.
This also means that we have to interact with foreign affairs. Now maybe we must, as this COVID, you must sit down and look at how we can do this.
I don't know whether to say it's an observation or what, but what I wanted to say is the issue of the police vis-a-vis the judicial system. Now, if we look at the police section, they can make all those arrests. But at the end, it depends on how the judicial system is going to look at the issue. And in most cases, our police are losing when they take the cases to court. I don't know whether it's because of the many lawyers that we're having these days. They are all competing with each other, and there's a lot of developments that are happening in the court. But my question would be now, how do we then, maybe in our workshops, link the two, the safety and security sector and the judicial sector, to say how do we then deal with these cases? Because in some cases I agree that some of our women also, a person would love a person, go willfully to that person, sleep with that person, wake up the following morning and say, I'm raped. Those are, that's another angle. But then how do we then make the two departments to work together so that they look at the case, whether the case is genuine or not, and get these people arrested and get these people charged. Because in most cases, when we have these rape cases and the family violent cases, in most of the rural police stations in particular, you find that they go out scot-free. Now, how do we link the two?
Would it not be an idea to call both of those departments together to the committee? So then the one, and I remember when we did the first research on for the women's budget, we did safety and security and justice together in one, and criminal and correctional services, all in one chapter. Because we said you cannot separate them. And if you call them separately, then the one can say, well, we do our job, but then the other drops it, or we can't do ours. So if you have them together before the committee, then everybody can discuss together. It's not going to solve it, but it at least starts the discussion or pushes the discussion further.
You know, maybe just to what from what you are saying, Debbie, just to add to what you're saying. You know, I think that is the reason why in each and every provincial visit that we have to interact with them as our stakeholders. Now, the reports that we've been getting from them, that's why I say sometimes I think they prepare, it's like cut and paste to me. I've been suspecting this ever since I was in this committee, because they look like having a uniform approach. But now that we have all this, that's why I said we have armed us, you know. We'll be able maybe to call at some stage a public hearing, whereby we'll be having the NGOs, civil society, we have the stakeholders. And so that these are the things that we can raise. And while we are, that's the reason why I'm saying we've got a whole program for the next year. And call the departments, especially the ministers, the executives, not the officials only, to come and tell us exactly what do they think about such things. Because we are at a point whereby, when Tlokwe said he really is confused, we have been using documents and all this, he meant exactly what Mandela is asking right now. We've come to the peak now, where we think we've done enough, you know, talking and writing documents. We must look at the end results of what we've been doing. And we must be told now, how far have they gone? Yes. And what are they intending to do? Maybe we must have time limitations on this thing. Because, you see, there's a lot that the judiciary doesn't even, in terms of gender violence, in terms of, all the things that the imbalances of gender. And I think that's the most important department that we should be dealing with. And in fact, the whole judiciary as it is. I think we should be more proactive, that's what I can say, as this committee. That's what the minister was saying. Just to interrogate them as the security, I mean as the executive, and as stakeholders, and just get everybody on toes. And that's what our work, that's what the joint monitoring, that's what we should be doing. Yeah, I think we just have to. We can't be on our toes when we have four people attending. That's the other thing. We emphasize to do all these things, but we don't get a good response from our own people. I don't think they understand.
Are we done now? Yeah. You think we're done?
Yeah.
You will always say yes, because you have been telling that to us all the way up. Have you kept that in the system?
Yes.
Is everybody satisfied? You don't get anything. I mean, the receptacle.
So, as far as you are concerned, baby, I think we should thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the fact that you know the whole thing, the whole package, I want us to put these things away because I think we need understanding that there mustn't be a point where we are attempting to go get it because we need this. This is our way, you know, daily way. And this is going to assist people with the capacity of the women's contact in time. That's these things. You might call it in something to address the women's contact. But so far, I think you really have a selected good cut in whatever the human is expecting you to choose from. These are very good. With an eye opener and it is threatening the whole community. I think those people need to be coming here because we can't relate it to them as you are doing. Mm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. And then, you know, she went. I don't know whether people have anything or any other question. Something on this. Now, on our big elements, we have an indication here, and from the OSW, on the 28th, you know, when we heard about this, I talked to Joy, at the funeral, she's going to see me, what do you call that treatment? Not the immunization on this. I told her to come and attend this one, because I think that I have been to that change, it's here, and I'm sure you can recognize it. Otherwise, if there are any other people who think they will be in their consistency, and we had the other indication, but it's not here. I think we must follow it up.
So where is the indication for today?
Now, we must sit down and
if it says the dance and stuff, okay, you know what it is, then you always feel like the shoes are open.
What do you do? When you relax me.
Oh, first you go to the temple.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the hospital.